found this in Ganarum. Ganamir.
What is it?
Well, it's a performance.
Welcome to a new episode of Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan.
This is Aaron O'Brien. I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy.
No, we're trying not to wake a breaker.
I'm not crazy.
Wait, and we've got someone else with us.
Yes, you have Faith with you.
That's the voice in my head.
Yes. I hear it in my head, too.
God, are you screwed?
We don't want to wake up Riker.
Crazy, crazy for feeling so blue. I'm crazy for loving Riker.
And his great facial expressions. I had it paused at the very beginning of the episode. He's making this really funny face. If you just pause the episode as soon as it starts playing,
I know.
Before he starts, you know, talking, it's great.
It looks like the bad edits out from porn clips. Just it's like the worst O face ever.
And just by the way, we're talking about the episode Frame of Mind
from Next Generation, where Riker goes bonkers. This is great. This is a great episode. If you haven't seen it, you need to watch it right now. Like whatever you're doing, if you're in the bathroom, if you're driving
your
car,
Netflix.
You know, if you're like, you know, having sex with someone, stop. And just turn on this episode and watch it. I don't know why you'd be listening to us while you're having sex, but
it's a bonding
experience. I've decided our listeners are so twisted that that's what they must do.
Well, you know, it's possible. I mean, who knows what they're doing? They might even
be
at work.
There's so little time in the day that they're probably just trying to fit all their hobbies and curricular activities like in one go. Just
that's right.
All at once.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah. Cleaning your fleshlight out.
that's a very intense process, so I hear.
Okay. At least they are getting laid.
That's right. If you consider that getting laid. Anyways.
Welcome to Synthaholics, guys. That was just our intro.
Frame of Mind. So, Frame of Mind came out in May of 1993.
93?
That
ooh.
Is a long time ago.
People were excitedly awaiting the Nintendo 64 in 1993, I think.
Nirvana just released. The Nevermind was like blowing up. And
Weird Al was writing his parody to I Smell Like Teen Spirit.
Right. So, and during this time... we see a Will Riker in a play called Frame of Mind. I don't know if it was actually written by Beverly.
I think it was. And I love the fact that it's written by Beverly. She's a doctor. And then they say it's about a doctor who likes to torture people. What does Beverly do in her free time? Tell me that.
I think we've insinuated so much about Beverly so far that, yes, I think.
Oh, last episode.
Yes.
No.
We are not going to go into that.
I did nothing. I am innocent.
We will not talk about Faith.
If you want to know what we're talking about, listen to the first 5 minutes of last week's episode, and you will hear the most wonderful insinuation we've made yet, probably.
No, you might not think that way. Anyways.
It was more like walking through a wide open door.
Yes, right, exactly. So the episode starts, and we have Riker is
rehearsing
the play with Data. Beverly is kind of directing.
Because you're going to get a great emotional performance out of Data.
Right. Well, he plays that nice, even psychologist, psychiatrist. I don't know what is his official title. He's a doctor.
He's the shrink at the mental institution, whatever Frame of Mind is.
Right.
Head shrinker.
So Riker's having trouble with his lines, and Beverly says, we'll pick it up you know, tomorrow. Don't worry about it. You're trying too hard. And, you know, Riker they leave the playroom.
Riker's walking down a corridor, reciting his lines to himself, and he bumps into a guy with a butthead.
He's kind of like the McDonald's thing on his head. So.
Or
yeah,
McDonald's
it's definitely head. McDonald's logo.
Yeah, and he ate too many Big Macs, and that's what happened.
You are what you eat, and this alien lived at McDonald's.
Yes, he lived at McDonald's.
I bet he runs the McDonald's on the ship, too.
Yeah, it'd be awesome if there's McDonald's on Next Gen.
It's like right next to 10-4. No one goes there.
So he
and they have to eat at McDonald's this episode because actually 10-4 is converted into the playroom where they do the play.
Yeah, Guinan's pretty pissed off. And he bumps into him accidentally and he sees him. He's like, I've never seen that guy before. He doesn't say
it's
that.
It's really weird, intense look between the two of them. It's
right.
Really weird.
Right. And then then the episode starts. Next scene we get Picard telling. They're on in Picard's ready room, and he's telling Picard's telling Riker that there's been a problem on the planet Telonius IV. I guess the government has completely fallen apart. There's anarchy all over.
And he's like, "Well, where's the ruling body?" He's like, "It's all splintered." I'm like, "He just said anarchy."
Number one, I said anarchy.
Do you not know the definition of anarchy?
There is no rule.
There is no rule.
No,
it's all splintered. Like I said with anarchy, but you know, just so.
Let me play the Sex Pistols song for you. Anyways, Riker is going to go undercover to recover a group of Federation observers.
Yes. Send your second in command undercover.
Yeah, I don't know. Well,
because he's a spy. I guess Picard already had his turn a couple episodes back in Chain of Command, being a spy.
Yeah.
So now it's his turn. It's like I guess they do rotation on who gets to be a spy.
Captain Jellicoe put him into that one. He's like, here, go on. Now let's do Riker.
Yeah,
I hated that asshole. So anyways, Worf's giving him the kind of briefing and telling him.
I love why does Worf know so much about this race?
I don't even know that. But then Worf really gets into swinging that knife around.
Oh, he's like so good. He cuts Riker in the temple.
Cuts him in the temple, and
that just seems like a really dangerous ceremony to like swing a knife in front of your potential buyer. If you don't kill him, you get their money.
Right. I don't really know what that was about. I mean, we'll get into more later as time goes on. But so Riker gets a little scratch on his head, and he goes to Beverly, and she heals him. But he goes, "Oh, my head still hurts.
My head's not right.
Guess I can't have sex tonight."
This is a clue.
Yes.
That's a clue.
And right after Beverly heals him, they bring in some crewman that had a plasma torch blow up on him.
Oh, yeah. It's Geordi's only line in the entire episode.
Yes. And that crewman who got blown up, that's his only scene ever.
He also, his only scene ever. And he gives Riker the most passionate look ever.
He gives him the stink eye. He's like, "You blew it up on me, you bastard.
You're bad acting you're during bad. The play. Just totally made that plasma conduit blow." And Riker's like horrified. I love the camera, like how it zooms up into his face. And he's just like horrified.
Yeah, we get this, Riker gets this real disturbed look. And then he runs right out the room. And he runs right into ten forward to Deanna Troi. He goes, Deanna, "Do you got a second? Got a second?
Okay.
There's this crazy thing just happened. He looked at me and it really freaked me out. Okay, I'm not on any medication or anything, but I'm really kind of losing it." And Deanna says, "You need to get in touch with your dark side.
You don't know the dark side of the Force.
You don't know the power of the dark side."
Maybe she just wants him to touch her dark side.
She was actually talking about Guinan, but... Guinan didn't like that joke either.
Anyway, like, I really...
Did you feel that? You're so perceptive.
The interesting thing is here, like, I feel like there's a lot of kind of tongue-in-cheek dialogue at this point because Deanna Troi is like, you know, this is becoming more than a part to you. Like, I think, you know, this is the sixth season of Star Trek, so I feel like they've kind of grown into their roles and, like, they've realized where they are in pop culture
right.
at this point in time. And I feel like that's a little bit tongue-in-cheek. It's like, you know, it's no longer just a role to you anymore.
Yeah, it could be. And the other thing I was thinking as well is that that she Riker mentions that his first year of the Academy, this is kind of how he felt, sort of paranoid, like everyone was talking about him, and that like
he shouldn't have been sleeping with every single girl he saw. Maybe that, you know, maybe people wouldn't have been talking about him so much in his first year of that Academy.
That perhaps could have been the case. so he and she encouraged him to kind of explore these feelings because, you know, this might be a kind of a natural born actor, and you know, this would be good for him. And just when they're having their conversation, the same strange Mickey D's alien walks out of the 10-4 and says, "Is there a new lieutenant on the Enterprise that I don't know about?" And she goes, "I don't know who you're talking about because you just missed him."
Yeah.
And he goes, "You want me to look it up?" And he goes, "Forget about it.
I'll do it in the morning. I got to go to bed early because I got to rehearse some more."
And so the next scene we see is that they're doing the actual play. And they get a standing ovation.
And he blows them out of the water. Beverly says, "You'll kill them." I feel like most of the things she says in this episode are really, really dark. Like, "You'll kill them." And then, like, later when she's, like, trying to console him, she's like, "Oh, you just had this drama. It's fine. You're going to do fine in the play."
Right, right. And then during the standing ovation, he sees the alien standing behind and all of a sudden the audience is gone, and there's a
I'm having my second beer.
All right,
we're being legit on Synthaholics tonight.
Yeah, we are getting drunk. and the walls, and he's actually in some kind of prison-like psych ward where he was where it was just at first just a couple walls that made up the play. So, did you got that open yet?
I'll open yours now.
You might need a hand.
I know.
It's the second one. I was opening one for Aaron, too. That way we don't have to make any extra noise.
Followed by a mop and anything else.
Exactly.
Ooh.
Anyways.
Hey, I'm just going to sit here and drink my rum and orange juice like a badass.
Well, that's nice. Did you bring Roman
for us?
Juice for us?
Yeah, and I'll bring my cold as well.
Mm. Well, you know, sharing is caring, and Synthaholics, we like to share.
That's right.
You're sick because of how much love I have. Yes, that makes perfect sense.
We love you.
This much. Here's some tissues.
Tissues.
No.
They have multiple... This episode is brought to you by Kleenex. They have multiple purposes.
And,
Yes. Anyways. So, and there we have Riker is in this psych ward, and the doctor's like, "Oh, you're having the same delusion again of the
you were on the ship," and I'm making quotations with my fingers, "the ship."
Right, exactly. And Riker's like, "Wait, where am I?" And he goes, "What's your name?" And he says, "My name's Commander. I don't know who I am." And he all of a sudden seems to...
He remembers he's a commander, but he doesn't remember his name.
Well, Irene.
And he's like, "I knew who I was
in my dreams,
just
Irene,
a second ago.
In my dreams, I remember I'm a Viking, so... But I don't remember much more than that, so...
You just remember the roaring and the smashing, I guess.
Yes, yes, yeah. Going on the long boats to Newfoundland.
The women and the sheep. Gotcha.
Yeah, you got it. You got it all down.
Or in this case, just the sheep.
You've heard this delusion before.
Mm-hmm.
A wee moment.
So. Ooh. So, Riker's in the insane asylum, which you should be in.
What?
And...
Hey.
I didn't learn already.
And the doctor tells him, "We've checked Starfleet. There's no such officer as you. You don't exist as a Starfleet officer."
I love it. It's Admiral Boudreaux.
Right, exactly.
I've never heard of no Admiral Boudreaux. And if you're from Louisiana, you're probably familiar with Boudreaux and Thibodeau jokes.
I don't know what that is.
It's just a Louisiana thing. So if anyone's from Louisiana, you know what I'm talking about.
Okay. So anyways, the doctor's Dr. Cyrus, and he he says he's in the Award 47 of the Thelonious Institute for the Mental for Mental Disorders, and he says that Riker's making progress because he's kind of coming out of this delusional state of that it was a commander on of Starfleet Enterprise, and while he's in the cell, a voice comes over and says, "Hey, you can go to the commons and you can have lunch there. Would you like? We're having spiny lobefish. That sounds delicious. Not.
I wonder if it's like a Ferengi earlobe fish.
It sounds very disgusting, yum, actually. In fact, the plate they put in front of him looks pretty gross, too. So he's hanging out.
But hey, it's probably better than the gruel they serve him through the slot in the door.
That's true. And it's probably better than the gawk he had to eat when he was doing the old...
the Klingon training.
Klingon officer...
exchange program. Yeah.
Which, that was successful. And
so great.
And anyways, so he's sitting in there and some young Mickey D's lady shows up and she goes, "Don't let him tell him you're crazy. There's other officers here.
There's about 12 of us. There's three ships in orbit.
I'm from the Yorktown. So-and-so is from the so-and-so.
I made a communicator." Yeah. And then she starts talking to her and spoon.
And that's a great scene where she starts talking and you can tell Riker's sort of like have a glimmer of hope, like, oh,
yeah, you know, like, yeah. And then he's like, oh my gosh,
why did I even like
why did I fall for it?
Right.
Why?
And the next part is what we see is that he has a run-in with this. He talked to him before a little bit, but Malik is a one of the
security guards,
like orderlies of the ward. And he kind of like just kind of like.
Oh, you remember my name? That's good for a crazy man.
Yeah, he's not very compassionate for someone working in a psychiatric ward.
And well, remember, this planet's a total anarchy. I'm surprised this place is running as smoothly, yeah, quote unquote, as it is.
Right.
Under this anarchy they're under.
So, and what we have here is he says, "Well, don't you remember? He says, you came in, you were covered in blood.
It took an hour just to wash your hands.
You were you mutilated that guy." And he goes, "I didn't kill anybody." And Riker goes nuts. Nerf. Yeah, he just totally loses it, and he's
strangling the guy.
He starts choking out Malik because, you know, that's what you do when somebody...
Then when he can't handle anymore, he wakes up sweaty in his bed in his nice red shiny undies.
I like that he was actually in like a sleeping bag. I kind of thought maybe because he's from Alaska, he like wants to be back at home. Like, back at home, we used to sleep in the nice sleeping bags, and it's like nice fleece, and I get all in there and get all cozy.
When I sleep alone, I sleep in a. When I don't always sleep alone, but when I do, I sleep in a
sleeping bag.
I hide it when Deanna comes over.
It's all cozy in there. Just
it's
like
embarrassing when she sees me do it.
Just like before Dad left.
Before my dad abandoned me with Pulaski.
Running off with Pulaski. And anyways, he's back in his room and he's thinking like, oh, it was a crazy dream I had. And the next
calls Beverly.
Yeah, Beverly's there because...
Just reassuring him that he's an actor. It's like, oh, well, you had this horrible dream. Well, it's okay. I'm sure it's fine. There's nothing wrong with you.
Play is only making you completely into a state of psychosis and paranoia, like, schizophrenia, but that's okay.
She has no compassion for him whatsoever. She's like, the play. I don't care about anything else you have to say. As long as you're...
That burn victim died. I didn't do anything for that asshole.
Yeah, he didn't make it because I was making revisions to the play.
I was making light.
Like, oh, we should have a burn victim in the play.
Yeah, I was doing like light. Why is there a dead burn man in the middle of this play?
Played by the same guy.
Still giving him the stink eye, though. So Riker kind of like tells her about that, but she's kind of like it turns Beverly on that like Riker's becoming psychotic. Like,
turned her on?
Yeah, she's like, "Ooh, my play's making you think you actually are crazy. I'm going to be the greatest playwright in our whole generation."
And she's like, "Yes, you're certainly looking like an actor now." And like, it's not because he's looking like an actor; it's because he's stressed out of his mind. Because
he is going crazy.
It's Beverly, like, I'm not trying to look like an actor. I'm actually going nuts.
Beverly's like, I'm going to be the next Tennessee Williams. Or maybe...
William Shakespeare.
Yeah. So the play goes on, and unfortunately, while they're giving the play, he looks through the door of the window, and there's the orderly Malik smiling at him through the door, and he's like,
did you see that?
Did you see that? And like Data's just like, what the fuck?
Like, even though he's messing up in this version of the play, I think it's his best performance because he's like, because he makes all these like weird stops where he just looks off camera, and he's really going nuts. Like, right. I love it. And Beverly's sitting there trying to prod him, like, this is your next line.
Next
like, this
line,
is
next line. Next
and like, I don't know, I loved it when he's just like.
Yeah, yeah, just looking around like, what was it? And then he sees off in the. In the crowd
like sitting between Picard and Worf or something like that.
Is the lieutenant that he mentioned before the
Lieutenant Mickey D's.
I'm loving it. Anyway. Anyways, so Lieutenant Mickey D's is there.
I don't know if you could tell, but we've been drinking.
And Riker charges Lieutenant Mickey D's and shakes him and asks him, where's the hamburgers?
Where is it? What? You're the key to all this. And then everyone's like, are you okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And I love how Data sees him late in the corridor. It's like, oh, I loved how, and Detroit's like, oh, everyone understands. You're just under stress. And Data walks up and is like, wow, you did this like great interpretation of this kind of like,
yeah,
you know, schizophrenia.
Yeah.
Your improv was awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he was like, thank you.
And then Troy's like, well, I guess almost everyone gets it.
And then while they're talking, Riker hears a voice like over the loudspeakers, but it has nothing to do. And like, and he's like,
he's like spacing out, like, and she's like, what's wrong?
What's wrong? He goes, nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing.
Nothing. No.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
I'm okay.
And she goes, I think you better get some sleep. And so Riker starts.
Will you come with me and help me fall asleep?
Got my sleeping bag. I'm sorry, Deanna. I brought the sleeping bag out again. I've been thinking about Dad lately.
And my ninja jitsu.
So. he's going down the hallway and he's going to get ready. He jumps in the turbo lift, the doors open, and all of a sudden he sees a view of the doors open. Is a view of the mental ward. He's like, no, it's not real. And then he's like, okay, so he shuts his eyes and then it's back to the normal hallway. And then he's walking through, and then there's
the spoon Mickey D's lady.
And she speaks in her spoon and says, don't let him tell him you're crazy. Tomato soup. Mm. and then
no, it's Jell-O.
And then he's like, no! He starts running through the corridors. He runs into his room, and then he's on the set of the play again. And he's like, why am I on the set of the play? And then he turns around and looks, and he's back in the corridor. Back in the actual prison.
He's stuck in
it. And then it's a great shot of him like screaming at the window and the camera zooming
in. Yeah, that was a great scene where they pan out of the window.
All the camera work in this scene is awesome because he's running through, and you see him runs onto the set, and then you know it's like the play set, and then it turns, right. And then all of a sudden he's back at the real jail. It's so well done.
Yeah, this is great scene. So, and he's like, I'm not crazy!
Help me! Yeah. And he's like, oh, crying in the corner after no one comes and helps him.
And so he's back in the ward somehow. So as you can tell the story, he just keeps flashing back and forth between these two worlds.
For those playing at home, he's going in between levels 2 and 3 of the Inception or Matrix within a Matrix. Yes. He has yet to make it to level 3.
No, you don't usually get there.
He's folding it in on himself over and over again.
Yeah.
But he does get to level 3 briefly, and that's when he realizes that it's really messed up.
Well, the next scene we have, he's in the common area talking to his mental doctor, Dr. Cyrus, and he's saying...
Admitting that it's you know, he's like, you know, this seems more real than the Enterprise does.
Right, and he says, I'm not sure if I killed somebody. And the doctor says, we have to have a decision of what we're going to do because there's a lot of people need to be in this ward, and they might just ship you out of here anyways, and it might not like what happens afterward. And there's two possibilities. They have this reflection therapy, and then there's this
basic... You get to talk like hologram. You get to talk to holograms of your different emotional states.
Right, right. And then there's a synaptic reconstruction, which they're just going to completely...
They put your brain in a blender.
They're just rewire his whole brain. And he said you won't even be anything like you were before. So it's like your former self will be gone.
Won't be scoring with the ladies anymore. He's like, no, let's do the other one. Let's do the other one.
More like Barclay. That's your.
you'll be up to that speed.
Yeah. You'll be. Anyways, so they have so he says, well, let's do this reflection therapy, and they put this machine up in his room, and they says that the machine's going to scan his brain, and they're going to put projections of different types of
different personality traits,
sides of
like one is aggression, that's represented by Worf. Another one's his feelings, represented by Deanna Troi. Another one is basically his logical side, which is represented by Picard.
Right.
And so they're all kind
of
like
they're giving him like clues of what was happening and why this thing's happening,
and from the perspective of that emotion or state of mind.
Right.
Which is really kind of cool.
No, it was cool that they're all like,
and they're talking over each other, but yeah. It's like the same thing from a different emotional standpoint,
right? And they're feeding him like what was happening, and
then they become independent in their own thought, and they're able to say, "No, this isn't real. You need to come back."
Well, yeah, but interesting. Just before that, Lieutenant Mickey D shows up as well, and
what does he represent? I don't even know who he is.
Who is that guy? Is he in the Dr. Cyrus says he's actually the hospital administrator.
It's like, what does he mean, man?
He was there when you were admitted, so...
And he doesn't know.
He doesn't even say anything to him.
He just kind of
sits there. And
watching, like a creep.
Chewing on a burger.
Double quarter pounder, Mac.
French fries. Chuck and shake.
Extra grease.
I took off the pickles, though. I don't like the pickles.
And then he goes to eat lunch. They let him out to the common area again. And then Beverly walks up to him, and he's, like, totally ignoring her. He's like, it's not real.
You're not here.
And then she's like, I had to disguise myself as a medical professional. I'm like, are you not really a medical professional in your real job?
I know. I fake that.
I'm a playwright. I only moonlight as a doctor.
I write plays.
No, she said health official, yeah. Like health department.
Yeah.
That's
basically the toilets are clean. I can say that the toilets are good.
Do you not normally work in healthcare, Beverly? I'm just
health official kind of doesn't funny. Mean doctor. It means I test out if there's
I lick the toilets, and if I don't get if I don't get sick, they're good.
I can tell you the Klingon Empire did not pass my inspection.
They didn't even invite me.
You weren't sure you were going to make it.
I mean, these Klingons are just blowing gawk out their ass.
It just swims right through the digestive tract. Ah.
Anyways.
It comes out moving, too.
Oh, God. This is disgusting. You've got Commander Riker, you have got worms.
You've got ga. They harvest ga from people. Maybe that's what Axanar is about. That'd be awesome.
It's all about people eating ga.
Ga harvesting.
They've got worms in their guts.
Klingons need to keep up their high standards of cuisine.
Oh, jeez. So, so she says that they're on a mission, that they're saying that he supposedly killed somebody, and
we'll get you out. You're staying tight.
Right. And he goes back to his room. He's having a nice little sleep when who breaks in but Data and Worf to get him out.
Oh, yes.
And he does not want to go with them.
He's like, no, they're hallucinations.
And Mavic's there, and he runs.
He even runs behind them, Mavic, and like, and they get rid of them.
Yeah, get rid of them, and they take him, and they beam him out. Worf and Data get him out of the ward, and they're like, you're stuck here, you know, you were captured, blah, blah, blah.
This is when he reaches the third level of Inception.
Right, and this is where he realizes that something's going on
because his hip temple keeps bleeding.
Yeah, the part where Worf originally
stabbed him in the face. It starts bleeding again.
Yeah, and it keeps happening, and she keeps on fixing it, keeps on coming back.
He's like, "You fixed this? Why is?"
And he grabs Worf's phaser because he's the security officer.
Because the security officer can't hold on to his own weapon.
This guy. How did he get his security badge?
Tasha died. It was a field promotion.
Field promotion. Like. And, anyways, so he decides, he turns the phaser on himself, and he shoots, and all of a sudden the whole room explodes, and he's back in his ward.
So he's back down to level 2 of Inception.
And he goes, how's this happening?
How do I still have a phaser?
And then...
he shoots himself, though, and it blows out the reality.
Right, but then he shoots Mavic, and Mavic explodes. And he goes, how's this happening? And,
he switches his phaser up to level 16 or whatever. It'll destroy this whole half of this building.
Right, exactly.
And then he shoots it, and then he goes back to the first level of Inception, where he's back on the Enterprise doing the play.
Right, exactly. And every time he talks to Lieutenant Mickey Dees, he starts talking back to him and, like, trying, because he's trying to convince him he's still insane. He's like, this is all not real, blah, blah, blah. And what happens from there is that even the crowd starts giving him the ovation every time he stands up to him.
Every time he pushes back against them harder, the crowd – and I love how everyone just looks so bored. Just like – they're like slouched in their table. Like, their
oh, no, seats. Not another Crusher play. This dribble. Anyways, so they get he all of a sudden wakes up and he's on a bed with a thing stuck to his head, a tube stuck to his head.
Where he keeps bleeding.
Yeah, and they realize that he has just woken up and there's two of these Mickey D characters working on him. And they're like, let's take him to the drive-thru.
maybe the food will make him sick and pass out again.
I'm still not quite sure what they were actually trying to get from him other than maybe
they were trying to get some strategic information from him. I'll give you my theory on what they were trying to do once we're done wrapping up.
Well, Riker obviously, jumps off the table, starts kicking ass.
Grabs a phaser. And, it's very convenient. They actually left his clothes and his communicator and his phaser.
He didn't get the phaser. It was a knife.
He's got a knife. And it's all right next to him. Right. Right next to a little thing next to his bed. It's okay, why didn't you, have a constant, sedative drip on him? And second of all, why did you keep his stuff right next to his bed?
I don't know.
They must be really nice health standards at the hospital.
Well, and then so he beams up to the Enterprise, and Picard says what really happened is that you were attacked in an alleyway, and you fought him off with a knife, but somehow they got jump on you, injected you with something, and then you just became they were trying to infiltrate your brain and. And,
they're trying to get to strategic information from
him. And apparently they wiped out his long-term memory. All he had is short-term memory. So the only things he could remember was
the recent things that were going on.
Yeah, the play, the mission itself, and then the actual the ward that he was stuck in. He kept on looping into this thing. So it was like one long fever dream that he just kept on going on and on and on and on. So.
And then he's like, I've got to tear down the set because I won't be able to be at peace without having known this thing is gone.
Right. So, the end scene is him ripping down the set. So, kind of like just deconstructing this nightmare that he just went through.
He's been living for two days because that's how long he's been missing.
And I even have a theory now that... that the only thing that was real is that the last, whatever,
the last 3 minutes of the episode, the only thing that's really real. Everything else is a reconstruction of actual events, but not in the right order or not even the same things happened, really.
Right, exactly.
My theory is that they were trying to get him to that third level of Inception where he thought he was really back out.
Right.
Back on the ship. And then they could have, gotten information from him by just having him talk to Picard about the classified stuff.
Yeah.
So they had just gotten him. They were just getting him to that third level of Inception where he thought maybe he was free.
Right.
But then, he kept bleeding. So, he kept realizing that.
Right. Exactly.
And so he was able to get back all through the, back to reality.
Right.
That way.
Well, this whole episode is like a chain of things, and it is very much like like when you have like a really weird dream that just keeps on like looping in and on itself, and you like, or especially if you're not feeling well, Faith, and you're having like, you know, that kind of sick fever dream that you're just like sick and you're like not feeling well, and the dream just keeps on repeating itself over and over again.
Everything's just fading in and out.
Yeah, are you experiencing any of these symptoms, Faith?
Probably every time she records to this.
Not again.
Yeah, it just, this time's more intense than the others. You know, I'm definitely having issues to tell you what's real and what's not at this point. I started calling somebody dad, it's okay.
Oh.
Dad-daddy-o.
Who you called?
Well, what is everyone's takeaway of this episode?
I think it was fantastic.
That he acts batshit crazy quite well.
Yeah.
To the point where it seems almost the norm for him.
His performance is so strong in this episode. I am really, really floored by how good of acting he did in this episode. Like, his facial expressions, his,
right,
the psychosis, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, because we're used to seeing Riker as either the very strong, straight man as a commander, or kind of like a little bit charming, like, you know,
almost sort of comedic.
Yeah, but we don't see anything really outside those two boundaries. So, and this has been really, it was really cool to see something really outside of a different range for him. So,
yeah, I really liked the episode, and that, you know, my takeaway is basically what I was saying earlier, that it was. His acting was amazing, and I really feel like they it was just interesting how they got like through the different levels of Inception, or the Matrix levels, or whatever you want to like call it, the different stages, because he was so deep and he got himself out of it, which was amazing.
And I read on the Memory Alpha that they basically put this together, this script, pretty quickly too, because they weren't actually planning on doing this, and they kind of just like threw this together pretty quickly.
And for like a rush job, this is an amazing episode. And they said it was one of the best episodes Brandon Braga had ever written for Star Trek.
Oh, it's amazing! And not just that, just the, and then the directing with all the angles and everything. They just really get that really crazy, unsettling.
Yeah, and the camera work was fantastic.
Right. So, I really enjoyed it. So you know, it's not often you see a Star Trek episode that. It goes so far off of what normally is the script of Star Trek. You know, normally you get like certain things that are like, you know, like you expect. You're going to see a Klingon. You're going to see Romulans, and
the explorations are external instead of internal.
I guess. And here we see somebody like really like, you know, struggling with mental disorder, which I think is great. They're even touching on it, because there's only been a few times that we've actually seen mental disorders.
But before we get to that, what was your take on it, Faith?
I really enjoyed it. I think that this gave Riker a real opportunity to shine for once, and to show just how much fun he can have with the different acting.
Yeah, he's got some chops.
Oh yeah,
it was a good role for him.
Before the episode, we were talking like, you know, what did he? Like, we're wondering if he had any other like big roles where he did something like we were just crazy, because. It's just really interesting. He just did it so well. I would love to see him do more stuff. I mean, Edward Norton's kind of typecast as doing the crazy guy. Edward Norton does the crazy guy really, really well.
Right.
And like, you know, Fight Club and
yeah,
some other stuff he's done. He does the crazy really well. Whenever he doesn't play a crazy person, I feel like his acting isn't as good. But like, you know, Riker's solid all the way around, and he's proved that he can do crazy really, really well. So I would love to see him do something like this again. I think that would be amazing.
Yeah, it would be cool to see that again. I was going to say the I like that they kind of explored, you know, mental, you know, it having someone having
mental disorders
in on the show, because I mean, like, we've only seen a few different times where mental disorders come up.
Whom gods destroy is the big one.
Yeah.
Although they cured mental disorders in that episode.
Right.
So,
well,
you know,
within the Federation. So.
So like in canon, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But I mean, he wasn't really in a mental institution. He was really just, you know, on the table getting his brain operated on.
Yeah, and yeah, no, I mean, I understand that, but they're kind of touching on the idea of mental disorders, which is
great. It's a great thing for Star Trek to bring up, because, you know, Star Trek touches on everything, and that's why Star Trek is so great, because it does touch on everything.
And I I have a I grew up with this dear friend who he was actually diagnosed with schizophrenia, and it was just one of those strange things that he said, like, what do you do when your brain lies to you? You know, like, what it's your only filter. Like, yeah. Everything that comes in your sight, your vision, taste, touch, hearing, it's all filtered through your brain. And if your brain is changing things and changing your perception,
if your brain's lying to you, then you're SOL.
Yeah, and it's a very strange thing. And I really feel for anybody who actually is having that struggle, because, I mean, I know that they have certain treatments and drugs for those things, but there's no cure-all, you know, so... It's definitely a real thing out there, and we've been making fun of it a little bit here in the episode, but we don't really make fun of people with mental disorders.
Oh no, we are very pro making fun of things because we think they're funny in the episode. I feel like we're kind of caricatures of our real selves, like doing the show.
right, exactly.
So no, like, mental disorders aren't funny, but this episode is got its funny moments that we'd like to point out where,
right?
It's interesting and fun, and that's what we're here to make things fun and to have fun.
Exactly. So mental disorders, not a good thing, not funny, but episodes where Riker gets to act a little kooky is a lot of fun.
Awesome, very awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Any other big takeaways from this episode, guys?
Nah, it was just a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, it's so good to watch. I watched it like 3 times getting ready for this episode. It was so good. I love this episode.
Does Beverly write any more plays after this?
I don't know.
I don't recall.
It's getting toward the end of the series. I think she's done some before.
Has she?
I think so. I want to say she's done some other stuff. Mm. I don't know. It's interesting, an actor doing a show about acting.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, ooh, this is Inception.
So. Before Inception was a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
We were Inceptioning before it was cool.
That's right. Well, we know that with Star Trek for sure.
And lots of different in lots of different ways. But one thing I wanted to reach out and say to everyone who listens to us, I really thank you guys for listening. Another thing I wanted to say is we haven't gotten a review or rating on iTunes since May. Guys, we love it that you listen, and I know you do because I see our numbers on our stats page, and I thank you guys so much for listening. But you know what would help us out a whole lot? If you went on iTunes and gave us a rating and review, that way it'll help us bump us up on the list so that more people can see our show and more people can listen.
Yeah.
So you can share it with the world.
Exactly.
It's another way you guys can show how much you love and appreciate what we do.
Right. And it doesn't have to be a whole essay. You could just say, hey, these guys are fun, or, you know, I like how they do this or whatever, and, you know.
Yeah, just say like,
give us a favorable review.
Yeah, like, you know, say what you like about the show. And, you know, like, your reviews and ratings will let more people see us.
Yeah.
And it'll make us more visible on iTunes. Because right now, it's hoarded by a very small percentage of people out there who listens to podcasts.
Right, exactly.
And I know you love us and you're greedy with us, but like we said earlier, sharing is caring. And
this bird's got to fly.
We're willing to take faith sickness upon us in order to have that orange juice and vodka.
Right.
So you need to be willing to...
Orange juice and rum.
Rum. Sorry. other clear liquids.
You have to sustain us.
Yes.
Like, we need to buy more rum, don't you understand?
Where's the rum?
We're suffering.
I'm like Riker, screaming through the door, get me out of here! I need more rum!
We're out!
Give me a rating so I can buy more rum!
No, it'll just help us be more visible, and we want to be visible because, I mean, we love doing this, and we do this for you guys.
And we enjoy that you guys are having fun with it as well, so that's the other cool thing. It's like I get my kicks off other people. They're having fun. They're enjoying what we're doing.
Oh, yeah, and like we definitely want feedback. Our email address is syntholics@yahoo.com. We've got our Facebook group, you know, Facebook/group. group / Synthaholics. We love
always wacky there.
Yeah, we always try to have a really good time and have fun and share all sorts of Trek related stuff there. So it's fun and we'd like to interact with you guys. Like don't be shy because we aren't.
No, we're not shy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, very cool. But yeah, we do enjoy doing this, and we're glad that you guys can just listen to us and have fun with it as well. And we hope you have a big laugh.
Yeah, and if we give you guys a big laugh, you know, say that. You know, say, hey, they're funny. I like them because they make me laugh.
Yes.
And that will be enough. I mean, that's a sentence. You don't have to do a whole lot.
Star Trek plus Synthaholics, big laughs.
You can just keep it easy. LOL does not quite suffice, but, you know, you can manage.
Yeah.
It'll be good, guys, and you know, we'll be able to do more whenever we get more listeners, and we want to be long. We want to run the show years and years and years, even until we get new Star Trek series, and then we have even more to talk about.
Right.
So well, this is a passion of ours that we love.
That'd be funny if there was a new episode and we... Man, we're going to get so crazy.
Well, speaking of new stuff, we've got Renegades to talk about sometime soon.
Yes, we do have to talk about that soon.
Faith's got Dragon Con this weekend, which will be it'll be the weekend that you hear this.
Yeah, she'll be at Dragon Con.
It'll be wrapping up.
And I'll still be there.
And she'll still be there when this episode is released. So,
if you guys want to say hi.
Yeah, if anyone's at Dragon Con, say hi to Faith. She'll be tell about what you'll be looking like on the days you're going to be there. I know you've got some costumes you're working on.
Yeah, Friday and Saturday I will actually be in the Friday night costuming contest and Saturday morning in the parade in a steampunk outfit.
Cool.
With wings. I made a set of articulated wings for the competitions, and I'll be walking around in that. Otherwise, you'll see me walking around in a black skirt and a neon green shirt that says ORMC Chairman. Awesome. Can't miss me. I've easily got the brightest shirt in my unit.
Nice. It glows. You said bright green, right?
Bright neon green. It will make your eyes bleed.
Well, I think these will be streamed, and I mean, it'll be Sunday when this comes out, so obviously but we'll have the links on our Facebook page, so you'll have seen it already, hopefully, if you're part of our Facebook group.
Right. Yep. And obviously, if you're at Dragon Con, you can say, hey, Faith, I've been listening to you.
Absolutely.
And hopefully we'll be I'd like to try to make the Dragon Con next year. The con I know I'm making will be Star Trek Las Vegas because I've already booked my room at the Rio.
Look at you.
So I'm definitely gonna go to Star Trek
I will also Las be Vegas. At the Comic Con in Raleigh, Durham as well in November, so
wow.
Oh, Aaron and I will be at the Buffalo Comic Con in October.
There you go.
Yay, we're covering all the boards.
So we wanna get out there and
show
be
us
known.
Love.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you listen to us, come and say hi.
We'd love to hang out and chat, and you know, I'll be bringing my mobile recorder so we can record some chats with fans and, you know, make a little episode where we got lots of little talks. So, that'd be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool, guys.
Well, again, thank you so much for listening. I know I kind of started this long rambling about thanking you guys for listening, but thank you guys for listening. Y'all have a great day, evening. Day at work, whatever you're doing,
having sex with your significant other.
Yeah, you know,
getting laid,
you know, bonding, drinking, whatever you do.
And all I can say, just do it really well. Make them happy. Make them want to be with you.
Do a thorough job. If you're not sure, go back, do it again.
Yes.
Do it again, because if you've stopped in the middle of this to watch the episode, go back to what you were doing.
Yes, and lick what you were licking and fondle what you were fondling.
Extended durations, make it up to them.
There you
apologize.
Go.
Yes. Exactly.
And have a crazy, crazy day.
We're all about spreading the love, guys.
Absolutely.
Love thy neighbor and thy lover.
And your friends. And everything. Yeah.
And love us. Love us.
Especially
there's a lot of love going on in this room.
Oh, yes, there
it's
is.
It's a good thing I'm over here.
Oh, my God.
I'm all by myself. Wait a minute.
Poor Faith. You should be in the room with us, and that way we get to have all the love spread around.
I'm sure she's happy where she's at. Safe distance.
I'll enjoy my sickness. I'm good here.
Oh, like we said earlier, we'd be happy to share, so don't be shy.
I'll FedEx my cold.
Sweet. It's just like instead of anthrax, it's just Faith disease.
I'll lick the stamp and everything here.
Lick the stamp, lick the letter that's inside the envelope, and we'll just smell it or something. Like, grind it up in our soup.
What's this white powder?
Mmm.
Wait, it's from Faith.
That's my Kleenex all chewed up.
Brought to you by Kleenex.
Spread your disease. Have a crazy time, guys.
Thank you all for listening. All my music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or follow them on Twitter at warp11. You can find us at synthaholics.com. You can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at synthaholicduo. If you'd like to follow us individually, you can follow me at David_J_Duncan.
You can follow me, Aaron O'Brien, at Blackbird2004. Faith, where can they find you?
You can find me at Faith Hertzberg.
And please subscribe to us. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. And if you have a chance, please rate and review so we can improve. And any feedback is welcome. And so we can make the show even better for you.
Live long and prosper, guys. At the stars we did gaze. The next morning he left stinking of gin. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh. And we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
99 bottles of beer on the wall. 99 bottles of beer.
Two I've drunk.
Harry, drink them all.
Wait, how many?
Cheers!
How many bottles of beer is it now?
I've got two.
Five, three,
I've got one in each hand. How many hands is that?
One.
Dude, are you saying I'm an amputee?